Today, we'd like to see the title of my strength in made perfect in weakness. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. To the souls on this online world through podcasts or a YouTube channel on earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What does it mean, and how can you apply it to our lives? Question 2 in verse 11. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commanded by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? Question 3, in verse 21, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. What does it mean in the context, and how can we learn from here? In the last time, Paul's ministry was humble as to the Lord, not to man, presenting Corinthian church as a purity of virgin to Christ. But the false apostles boasted many things according to flesh and enticed the Christians in Corinth to fall into different gospel, different spirit, or different Christ. So Paul felt foolish, but he inevitably boasted his fleshly things in order to protect the souls of Corinthians from the false apostles and to convince them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. In the last 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 32-33, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Paul boasted his escape from death to Corinthian church for souls of Corinthians. In this chapter 12, Paul continually was boasting according to the flesh for the souls of Corinthians. Chapter 12, 1 to 6, spiritual experience, signs, wonders, or mighty deeds, lest they should be polluted by such a false apostle. Paul did not receive wages from this Corinthian church, but received some donations from Christians in Macedonia regions. Chapter 11, 9, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Might be contended by false pastors to edify Christians in Corinth to Christ. Paul wanted to care his humble ministry as to the Lord, not to man, but now inevitably boasted for their souls, protected from false prophets, convincing them. Then chapter 12, verse 1. 1 to 6, Paul's spiritual experience in third heaven. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. When Paul boasted the visions and revelation of the Lord given by God Paul would be humbled by God. And so he said, not profitable for me, but profitable for you to be protected from false apostles and to be aware of the false apostles. Then verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows that such a one was cut off to the third heaven. It's likely happened in Lystra and the first mission trio. So book of Acts chapter 19. Verse 21, cross-reference right there. Verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in body or out of body, I do not know, God knows. Paul explained himself as a man in Christ, first of all, how he was caught up into paradise and heard the inexpressible word, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul in the third heaven was inexpressible words, or was indescribable with human words because of so awesome spiritual experiences, far more than false apostles. Verse 5, over such a one I will boast, yet over myself I will not boast except in my infirmity. Verse 5, Paul restated that his boasting is not of himself, but of his ship's souls, the souls of a Corinthian church. He will boast of himself in his infirmity, keeping his humble ministry for Christ's sake or his ship's souls. Then Paul will be lifted up by the Lord. Verse 6, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. If Paul further boasted, he would be a fool, because his imagined experience for Christ's sake or his ship's soul was given by God. So Paul temporarily testified his supposed experience, lest any should lift up Paul, as we should learn, because we should be lifted up by the Lord alone. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul received the abundance of the revelations from the Lord to make Paul humble. Paul had a thorn in flesh, which might be his eyesight problem in the light of large letters or Paul's stenographer tattoos. It was a hindrance to Paul's ministry, called as a messenger of Satan. Cross reference right there. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Paul asked fervently three times to the Lord to remove it. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Question 1. God refused Paul's request, but upon his answer, Lord's grace was sufficient for Paul, because his strength is made perfect in Paul's weakness. The thorn made Paul humble to be obedient fully to the Lord, who strengthen the poor. The more humble you are, the more stronger the Lord works through you. The Jesus, full obedience, even to death, on the cross to the Father. So right here is the cross reference, the verse 10. Therefore I take a pleasure in infirmity or weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Weak is the Paul's part, the strong is the Lord's part. So Paul was joyful in his weakness, such as infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, or distresses, for Christ's sake, or his share. He confessed when he was weak, the Lord is strong, because anyone in flesh cannot please God, but in the spirit we can please God. Romans 7 and 8 quote reference. Verse 11, question to you. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commanded by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostle, though I am nothing. Boasting himself is lifting himself, that is a foolish, because God is humbling him. But Paul was forced to boast himself, for their souls polluted by Paul's apostles, convincing them to know. Even most popular apostles are nothing to me, as I am nothing before our Lord, because all of them come from him. Paul convinced them to look for Jesus and for his word. Human opinions are not really important rather than what God says, unless the opinions would be helpful to understand his word. All of us are his sheep. The popular apostles and Paul are his instrument, neither equal to the Lord nor above the Lord. The cross reference right there. Verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Paul convinced them, boasting accomplishment with patience, wonders, and mighty works, in order that Paul was a true apostle. It showed that they might doubt whether or not Paul was an apostle ordained by the Lord. You know, that's why he said so. Verse 13, for what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. 13, sarcastic tone, the church in Corinth is nothing impure practice to other churches. Paul did not receive wages from the church in Corinth because he waived his rights, and he was supported by churches in Macedonia regions. Forgive me wrong, this is truly sarcastic. It means in the context you are better pastors than other churches, but you are polluted by false apostles. Verse 14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay out for the parents, but the parents for the children. Paul planted the church in Corinth, where apostles let watered. He determined the second visit. He planned the third visit as a spiritual father, not a man who get rich off of you. So that the cross reference right there, verse 15. And I will very gladly be spent for your soul, though the more abundant I love you, the less I am loved. Paul, as a spiritual father, has the desire to fellowship with church in Corinth with much more love for them than their love for Paul. Up to 19. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Paul and Titus did not get advantage from the churches in Corinth. Even they wavered the biblical right to receive a wage for their ministry works in the spirit from you. Some Christians in Corinth doubt whether or not Paul and Titus received some support from Corinthian churches. They did not receive anything from Corinthian churches, but from the churches in Macedonia region. Paul said that this support was for edifying Corinthian church to the body of Christ. So, verse 20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whispering, conceits, tumults. Paul used the fear term again. Paul considered seriously when he came there they might do the works of the flesh, such as contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whistling, conceits, or tumults. Verse 21, the last question. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before, and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. When I come again, my God should not humble me among you. If there were such works of the flesh, Paul would convince or rebuke you like this chapter on which Paul boasts fleshly things unavoidably. Then God would humble him, and Paul would bewail some of you who have previously practiced the uncleanness of fornication and lewdness, but have not repented of those things. Here we can learn we should minister usually as to the Lord, not to man. Unless something according to the flesh are necessary to be disclosed for the souls of his share. That is, you know, final, the learning point, right? So that point, so very, is temperate using the flesh again. So it's the bottom line, we should use temperately flesh again. So continually keep on Iran's churches and also next page, European Union mission. this coming Thursday, we are leaving, continue to keep on praying for them. Also, Christian population by country, and actually see that and what happens. So many Christians right there. They are more Christians than we often realize. But only a few are truly Bible-based Christians. So really, we need, you know, the Word of God in the last day, in Gospel and in all Scriptures. So that is a continue to pray for them. Also, you know, other missionaries as well. May God bless you, everybody.